You are about to listen to a message by Apostle Joseph Minter. Apostle Joseph Minter is the head pastor and leader of Torch World Ministries, an all-encompassing network of ministries. Through his teachings of the Word, healing, deliverance, and declarations, the power of God has transformed many lives. Now the Word of God.
From Bethel to El Bethel.
Now Bethel is a place where the foundation for ministry is laid. The journey of ministry is a downward motion. If you miss that one, you have missed God's blueprint for ministry. It's down. I said the way to the top is down, 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 further down. Jesus Christ did the same thing. He said that though he was in the form of God, he did not think that Godhead something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation and came down in the form of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself unto death, that's another down, even death on the cross, another down.
Shalem haparamakoste berhando bakarabas. Rede bakaparamakoste berhabakabaras. Mende beremeko baramakoste beramakoste lebarabakarabarabar. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this opportunity. Even as your word is coming, we pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of understanding. Let your word find a place in our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for this morning. Today is 22nd October. 2023, and I'm talking on what I call from Bethel to El Bethel. From Bethel to El Bethel. Last week, we also looked at from Gilgal to Jordan. From Gilgal to Jordan. And now we are still on that stretch because the journey of Elijah and Elisha was from Gilgal to Jordan. And it is a template for the progression of ministry, because we are looking at the ministry systems of the believer, the various stages of ministry. And as we've all seen, ministry is not something you do necessarily, it is something you become. And the ministry is the fruit-bearing part of your life as a believer. When you start bearing fruit, you have entered into ministry. And we saw that the journey from Gilgal to Jordan gave us the various stages or levels of ministry. Gilgal, as the name implies, the name means a rolling away. That was when the reproach of Egypt was rolled away after they were circumcised. And so Gilgal stands for character foundation. And then Bethel also stands for ministry foundation. So there's character foundation. That's the first work the Holy Spirit does in you when you become born again, preparing you for ministry. And then he also does a work of laying a ministry foundation in you, preparing you for main ministry, you know, or main ministry. That means that, you know, the bearing of the fruit, you never stop bearing fruit. God is fruit-minded. So God takes interest in your life when you start bearing fruit. That's why it says the branch that bears fruit. No, the branch that does not bear fruit, he will take away. But when it comes to the one that bears fruit, he prunes that it will bear more fruit. You know, it will bear more fruit. Okay. Now, then Jericho also stands for the springing up stage. If you like early ministry, then Jordan stands for peak or the main ministry. Your main ministry or the peak of your ministry is Jordan. Jordan is when you are in the cut and thrust of the assignment of God for your life, God's purpose for your life. You are in the cut and thrust. Your major purpose has been clarified and you are in it. Okay. So, but you know the progression. And last week we saw that Gilgal is a very crucial place. If you are following God's program, you cannot skip Gilgal. You only skip Gilgal if you decide to follow your own program. And we saw that the sons of the prophets in 2 Kings 2, we saw that the sons of the prophets were not at Gilgal. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. We will not read all. I just want to give you a background. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So they started from Gilgal. Okay. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Take note of the word down. Okay, so rather that the sons of the prophets started appearing when they go to Bethel. And Gilgal was not a place for them. They skipped that training, that part of training, that aspect of their training in Gilgal. That's why they missed God's program. You know, but Elisha started from Gilgal, the place where God was building his character. And I said that the struggling we have with the flesh, the works of the flesh, if you don't master it at Gilgal and then you jump to Bethel, Jericho, you are going to frustrate God's program for your life. Let me also repeat. You see, some people sometimes say, "I want to know God's will for my life, God's purpose for my life." You can never find out God's purpose for your life if you're having mastered lust of the flesh. You can't. He said, "This is the will of God for your life, even your sanctification." That one comes first. So when you have able to, you have been able to be held by the Spirit to pass through Gilgal, then the other aspects of your life, you will come into shape. Okay, now, so we saw that character is non-negotiable. The foundation of character is non-negotiable in ministry. We saw that last week. And then we also saw that character is what qualifies you. You are not qualified for public ministry if you have not been at Gilgal. Like I give the example of David, where the priest said, "There's holy bread. At least if the young men have kept themselves from women, they can touch the holy bread. At least." You remember all that? Okay, remember all that? All right. So today we are continuing from there. It says they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel is a place where the foundation for ministry is laid. And they went down. Now, the reason why it says they went down, actually, the whole journey was a downward motion. Because Jordan, which is the end, is the lowest point on planet Earth. I remember when we went to Israel and we're going around, our tour guide told us that. And as you head towards the place where Jordan is, you will see that you are going down. It's thousands of feet below sea level. The lowest point on planet Earth is that area where Jordan is. I'm talking about geographically. I mean now physically. And so it's not surprising that in the scriptures, they went down to Bethel and they were going to Jericho and then to Jordan. So it was a downward motion. That means that the journey of ministry is a downward motion. The journey is downwards. If you miss that one, you have missed God's blueprint for ministry. It's down. I said the way to the top is down, 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 further down. And that is why many people want to dodge these steps. They want to take a lift from down to top. But God will take you down, down, and down before he lifts you. That is where your lifting will be sustained. When you go from down to down and down. Jesus Christ did the same thing. He said that though he was in the form of God, he did not think the Godhead something to be grasped. But he made himself of no reputation and came down in the form of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself unto death. That's another down. Even death on the cross, another down. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name. So he moved from heaven down to a man, down to death on the cross. And then God exalted him and gave him the name. So if your journey is not down, 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 down for God to exalt you, because Jordan is the lowest place, and that's the place of acclamation. That's the place where the Father will say, "This is my beloved son." It's a place where God will endorse you. Is at the lowest ground. So when you see anybody who says, "God has called me and who says that God is using me, who has not gone through this process of down, 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 down. You will see, you know that the person dodged. And you can dodge. But if you dodge, you shortchange yourself. Okay? So, last week I said that God's plan for you as a believer is for you to take root downwards before you bear fruit upwards. And I gave you scriptures like Isaiah 37 verse 31. It says, and the remnants who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. At the Hosea 14 verse 5, where it says that God warns Israel, he said, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. So God wants the unseen parts of your life to be stronger, to be greater, to be more beautiful than the seen part. That is why God takes time to train you to respond to an audience of one, Him. Train you for you to be with Him, you to please Him in the closet. When God is training, there are many things that God will ask you to do, that you will know that you are not doing it to please men, but to please Him. And men may not understand you, but God will train you. Look at me. Have an audience of one. It's part of God's training. Because you have to go down. Depth for height. Depth can be for height. That is God's training. That's God's training. That's the pathway to the glory. Now, Bethel, he said they went down to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And I want to give you the background. We all know the story from Genesis 28, from verse 18 to 22. When Jacob was running away from Esau, his brother, and he was going to Haran, where his uncle Laban was. Then he got to a certain place because the sun had set, and then he slept at that place. He took one of the stones and used a stone as a pillow and slept at that place. When he slept, he had a dream. Then he saw a ladder whose base was on earth, which reached into heaven. Then he saw God standing at the peak of the ladder. Then he saw angels of God ascending first and then descend upon the ladder. So when he came out of the dream, he said, this place, go to verse 18, because I've just been seeing the story so that we read from verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Now, so what he did when he came out from the dream was that he took the stone and then set the stone up as a pillar and poured oil on that stone. And then he said, this stone that I've set as a pillar shall be God's house. He called the place Bethel. The word Bethel is Beth Elohim. Beth means house. Elohim means God. So Bethel means house of God. Beth Elohim. That's the full word. Beth Elohim. House of God. So now Jacob started a journey here. When he started a journey, the Bible says the sun has set. It was dark. He got to Bethel and it was dark. It's always down. It was a downward motion he was going through. So God put up the light. And God said, training time. I'm going to train you now. And so Jacob, after this place, he went on the journey and got to Haran, where his uncle Laban was. He spent 20 years in Haran. At the end of 20 years, God spoke to him again, and God commanded him to go back to Bethel. Now, read 35, verse 1 to 7. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. We are reading to 7. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. Now he was going up to Bethel, not down. The first instance, he went down to Bethel. Now he's going up to Bethel. It's a full cycle. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Okay, so here he called the place El Bethel. And, so Bethel means house of God. El Bethel means the God of the house of God. So there was a journey from Bethel to El Bethel. He started at Bethel, went down to Bethel. Then after 20 years, the Lord said, go back to Bethel. When he went to that place, he called the place El Bethel. So there's a journey from the house of God to the God of the house. There's such a thing as that in Scripture. You enter the house of God, and a time will come where you have an encounter with the God of the house. That is when you have gone full cycle. It's like the peace of God, the God of peace. You get the peace of God into your heart and mind, then the God of peace crushes Satan under your feet. You see the progression. Okay, so these two names are linked to Jacob in the Bible, both Bethel and El Bethel. In fact, he was the one who named those places Bethel and El Bethel. Okay, because Jacob represents, I've told you, that the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, had a desire. The Father's desire was for what? Sons. The Son's desire was for what? A bride. And the Spirit's desire was for habitation, a temple. And they correspond to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham corresponds to the Father, you know, so his life was all about having a son. Isaac corresponds to the Son. So Isaac married only one wife. Then Jacob corresponds to the Holy Spirit, which also corresponds to the habitation of God. That's why he's the one that was given the revelation of the house of God, the habitation of God. None of the three had that revelation. It was Jacob. Now, when you got to Bethel the first time, he anointed the place, the pillar, with oil. But in El Bethel, he anointed the pillar with oil and wine. But we'll get there. Okay, so the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have seen that they are templates. Their lives were templates. I'm just trying to let you know why we are studying Jacob, you know, in connection with Bethel. Because Bethel is where God trains you, lays a foundation in your life for ministry. Bethel. Okay. Now, in the building of God, they also correspond to the material God uses in the building. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Gold, silver, precious stones. So gold corresponds to the Father, the nature of God, divinity. Silver corresponds to redemption, which is linked to Christ. Then precious stones corresponds to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. So gold, Abraham, silver, Isaac, precious stones, Jacob. If you know how precious stones are formed, then you understand that precious stones are formed out of intense heat. Intense heat. So therefore, we are using Jacob's life as a case study of how God transforms a person for ministry. So it's not by accident that Jacob was the first person to get to Bethel, a revelation of Bethel. And then after 20 years of training, he had another revelation of El Bethel. And when you look at the two, you will see that the two are different. So from Bethel to El Bethel covers 20 years where God worked on Jacob to get the vessel that he wanted out of Jacob. Because God wanted a vessel that could sustain some dimensions of his eternal purpose. And Jacob had a lot of things on him that God had to chisel out. And God had time for him, train him. The life of Jacob is very beautiful at the end. You will see a prophetic Jacob at the end. You will see a meek and humble Jacob at the end. A Jacob that is not crafty anymore. A Jacob that is so easily touched, easily breaks down. That was a very different picture from the Jacob we saw in the house of Isaac, who was a schemer and who was always negotiating. If you want me and my beans, sell to me this day your birthright. That was his language. But after everything, when you get to a place, Jacob got to a place where he was so prophetic that when he was blessing Joseph's sons, Bible says he crosses his hands and placed Ephraim before Manasseh. He was prophetic. And Joseph protested. He said, no, my son, I know what I'm doing. And then what the words he spoke over them, those words define the tribes of Israel. The words he spoke over his sons. But he didn't get there by chance. Because it wasn't like that. It was out as a result of God's dealings and God's training. Those 20-year period from Bethel to El Bethel were not the only period in Jacob's life. Yes. But that was a period of his training. Training to be conformed to the image that God wanted to get in him. Now, we are going to read Genesis 28 again. So this time, go to 16 to 22. 16 to 22. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Please, whoever is behind the projector, be careful. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and this the gate of heaven. Yeah, so you can be this fast. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Okay. Then he called the place Bethel. Okay, it's okay. So here we see that he took the stone and set the stone up as a pillar and poured oil. Then let's go to Genesis 35. Let's continue from verse 8 because we ended at verse 7. So continue from verse 8. Okay, so the verse 7 was, and he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of that place was called Alon Bachut. Then God appeared to Jacob again, when he came from Paddan Aram, that's Haran, and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. This was different from the encounter with the angel. This one was God himself. Okay. Also, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give you. He didn't say, I will give. And to your descendants after you, I give this land. At Bethel, he said, I will give. At El Bethel, he said, I give. Then God went out from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it. That's wine, and he poured oil on it. At Bethel, he poured oil. At El Bethel, he poured oil and wine. I'm going to explain. So Bethel was the beginning of the journey. El Bethel was the end. He had gone full circle. The training was complete at El Bethel. In Bethel, he poured oil on the stone, but at El Bethel, at the end of the journey, he poured oil and wine. Oil and wine. Not only oil. And oil stands for the Holy Spirit. You see, wine stands for the water that has turned into wine. It is the word becoming flesh. It is when the tool that God uses to work on you is the word of God. But when he's preparing for ministry, he uses his word to shape you so that you come out with a particular word. That's why I say ministry is not something you do. It's something you become. That word becomes flesh. So at El Bethel, it was not just about the Holy Spirit. It was about the Spirit and the word that had become flesh, wine. Because water was turned to wine. The water is the word. He washes us by the washing of the water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. So washes us by the washing of the water by the word. Now the word becomes flesh. Okay? Water is turned into wine. It's a process. When you get to El Bethel, at that point, it's not just about the word that you heard. At that point, God has given you a unique word for your generation. So ministry, at that point, you have become a message. That is when you are ready for public ministry. You see, in the Bible, anytime God calls people, he calls them by his word. He shaped them by his word. They become a reflection of the word that God used to call them. Then he sends them. God called Isaiah by his word. He called Jeremiah by his word. He touched his lips, said, I've touched your lips and I've put my word in your mouth. Now therefore go to them. He called Samuel by his word. Everything that God, see, God does everything with the word. The Spirit comes upon you, but it's the word that is the seed. The Spirit is the womb of God. The word is the seed. So the Spirit has to come and hover over the surface of the earth, over the waters. But God said, when God released the word, light be, then there was light. Do you understand? Do you understand? Okay. All right. In Bethel, God promised to give him the land. He said, this land that you are lying on, I will give you. Look at Bethel's promise. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give. He didn't say, I give you. I will give you. It was a promise. When God says, I will, he will do it. But it may or may not happen, depending on how you cooperate with him. Okay? So here he said, I will give you the land. But at El Bethel, he said, this land I give you. I've given you this land. Number four, in Bethel, he was Jacob. But in El Bethel, he was Israel. His name had been changed. In Bethel, he was Jacob, who went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. In Bethel. But in El Bethel, his name had been changed to Israel. So God said, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel in El Bethel. There was a great change. In Bethel, he was a single man. In El Bethel, he had become a house. And you see that in El Bethel, he was thinking corporately, let us arise and go to Bethel. Part of the thing God will do in your life for you to know that you are ready for public ministry is to give you a revelation of the body of Christ. so that you know that it's not about your giftings or your grace. It's about the corporate body. When you get to that point, that's the point where vainglory leaves you. It's not about showing that I'm anointed, I'm gifted. In fact, at that point, you will know that you are interdependent with other parts of the body. And you'll be humble. Humility is the fruit of God's dealings. It's not by default. When you see true humility in anybody, it didn't come by just, it wasn't by default. It was as a result of God's dealings and the person's cooperation. Then, in Bethel, he was concerned about his personal needs. Look at Jacob. When God appeared to him, Jacob made a vow. He rushed to make a vow. Say, if God will be with me, security. Keep me in this way that I'm going, protection. And give me bread to eat, provision. And clothing to put on, provision. So that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. At this point, Jacob didn't know God. He was the God of his father Isaac. So he was giving God conditions. Look at the Jacob, typical Jacob, trying to negotiate something out with God. If you do this, then I'll do this. He even vowed to pay a tithe. We never saw Jacob paying tithe in the Bible. Maybe he didn't fulfill the vow. That's why God took the tithe from his children, the Israelites. And God said, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me. Why? Because your father vowed to me to pay tithe. He never paid. I'm taking it from you. That's why in the Old Testament, if you fail to pay tithe, you were cursed. Not so now. It's not so now. But in the Old Testament, the Israelites, God said, look, you must. If you don't pay, you have robbed me because your father made a vow. Sometimes you are paying for something, some vows of your father has made. At Bethel, Deborah died. And Deborah was the only remaining link to Jacob's past. Deborah was Rebecca's nurse. Look at the time it has taken, which means when he was going to Haran, Deborah was with him. The one who brought up, who nursed Jacob. Deborah was Rebecca's nurse. And as they were coming to El Bethel, Deborah died. The God was telling him that now, this is the last thing that links you to your past. I'm breaking it here before you are ready for ministry. So Deborah had to go. He died. Rebecca's nurse. Do you know Rebecca? Jacob's mother. So she died and they buried her. Later on, Rahel also died. But I'm not going into Rahel today. So let's look at the important places Jacob went to between Bethel and El Bethel and their prophetic application to ministry foundation. Because Jacob's life is a template. You will see from the places he went to, and I've told you that in the Bible, when you see the names of places, they are not for decoration. The names of places in the Bible, they always have a prophetic application to our lives. That is why Gilgal means the place of circumcision. Bethel means house of God. You see? So, let's understand that ministry is not something we do. It's something we become. As you walk with God, you become. You are formed into something. When you become something, God will now present you to your generation. I've worked on you. You have become something. Now, it is the fruit-bearing stage of a believer's life. Now, if that is so, let's understand that there are three main things that are responsible for the growth of seeds to fruit. We all know from science that water is very important. Light is very important. And what else? Heat. Water, light, and what? heat. Is that not so? Now, if the seed of God in you will turn into fruit, it will grow and bear fruit. God will also use water, light, and heat. So at Bethel, what God uses to work on you, to conform you to his pattern and his image, water, light, and heat. Now, water stands for the word that is preached or taught, the word that you read in a book or listened to on a cassette, on a tape, on a CD, the word that comes out, that is water. He washes us by the washing of the water by the word. Moses said, hear my words and let my doctrine drop like the dew. Let my doctrine drop like the dew. My words like the rain. So the word of God here, the water stands for the word of God. The word that is preached. Jesus Christ said, you are all clean because of the word I've spoken to you. John 15, verse 3. He said, it's the word that I used to clean you. The word that I used to. He said, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. So the word of God is a tool that God uses in training. You see, we must understand that the word of God is very important in our lives as believers. I was reading Luke 24, and the Lord told me something. Do you know, when they were going to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them, and Bible said their eyes were held, so they couldn't recognize Jesus. And Jesus, wanting to show himself to them, to tell them that it was he was the one, Bible said he took them to the scriptures. And starting from the prophets, starting from the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, he explained to them all that concerned him. He didn't show them his wounds. He said, look at this one to show that I am he. No, he took them to the scriptures. That is God's method. That's God's method. God uses the word to work on us. When the devil encountered Jesus in the wilderness, and he asked him, if you were son of God, Jesus didn't point out to what happened in Jordan. He didn't say to Satan, didn't you hear what the Lord said in Jordan, that I am a son of God? No. He pointed to the scriptures. Pointed to the scriptures. To the word of God, that's the water. Light stands for revelation, understanding, insight, illumination. That is light. Light comes from engaging the Holy Spirit in a personal walk of intimacy, prayer, fasting, meditation, Bible studies. These are the things that will produce light. So the word comes through preaching, but light comes through encounters. Light comes when you encounter him. So you can hear the word, and yet light will not come because the word must enter you. The entrance of your word brings light. When the word enters you, light comes. Light breaks out. Okay? Because the word can enter you through meditation, for instance. Through Bible studies, for instance. Through prayer, for instance. Through fasting, for instance. And then it becomes light. So the word that is preached, that's why I keep saying that. If you only listen to Sunday preaching, you will not grow as a believer. You need to get involved in Bible studies. That is where real growth takes place. You need to take the word in your closet. You need to study the word in your closet. Because on Sunday morning, I can guarantee you, you will get only 25% of what I'm saying. And even less. All of you here, only one-fourth, if you are to rely on Sunday message, only one-fourth will actually get it. Because Yeshua went out to sow. And one out of four, only one out of the four soils got it. The remaining three didn't get it. So I'm taking that from Jesus' parable. One-fourth. And so you need to press on and press on before you get light. Light is not cheap. Light is not cheap. I remember in 2005, I listened to Pastor Tunde Bakari's message that he came to preach at CCC. It was in my car. I listened to the message for more than 30 times. More than 30 times. You see, when I talk about the encounter I had in 2005, it was that message that provoked that encounter. Yes. One message. Light never comes cheap. It doesn't come just by listening to the word. No. Even faith comes by hearing and hearing again. So Jacob had light from the supernatural encounters he had. In fact, Jacob didn't have water because there was nothing like the Bible or preaching or teaching in their era, except maybe the words of his father, Isaac, and the things his father had taught him. But they didn't also, he didn't know God. Even by this encounter, this time, he had not entered into a personal relationship with God. He didn't know God. He was just the God of his father. So the word can come, but it is light that can keep you. Light that can keep you. It is light that can keep the enemy away from you. The word can come to you, but it is the truth you know that will make you free. You shall know the truth. That word know, the Greek word ginosko, is talking about intimacy. As a matter of fact, it's talking about intercourse. That word know. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you, not set you free. It will make you free. You become something. It will not just set you free from something. You become something. You become a free person. Prayer can set you free, but it is the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of the truth that will make you a free person. The reason why there are many people, you can pray for them to be set free. The devil will come again. Yes. He will come again because you are depending on the prayer of deliverance to be set free instead of depending on the light to be made free. You can be delivered from a sickness. And because you don't know why you were here in the first place, what belongs to you, that sickness can come. So we must not be satisfied with just receiving the word or receiving ministration. We should be satisfied with receiving light. Light makes free. Heat. Heat stands for the application of circumstances, events, and happenings to move a particular revelation or truth from outside to inside. That is heat. The application of circumstances, events, or happenings to move a particular truth from outside to inside. In other words, from your mind to your heart. It takes application of circumstances. Do you know I can teach you all I want about the fact that fire will burn you? I can give you the theories, give you the examples, and even show you a video and everything. The fire will burn you. Fire can burn you. But the day you touch fire as a child, you will get that lesson straight. That lesson will be, it will be driven home. That encounter, that experience of the fire will drive that lesson home. After that, I need not tell you that don't go near fire. So if you miss the first instruction, say, don't go near fire. You don't listen to me. This fire, don't go. You don't listen. If you encounter fire yourself, I wouldn't have to tell you again, don't go near fire. Why? Because you have experienced it. That is how God works on us. When you don't get it through the preaching, through the whisper of the Holy Spirit, you will get it through circumstances. And these circumstances, some of them are arranged by God himself. And some are arranged by the devil. And some also come by our own mistakes. And guess what? God never wastes any of them. He uses all of them together. The one the devil will bring on your way, the ones that he himself has arranged, and the ones that you brought on yourself. He will use all three to work on you to drive home his point. So at the end of the day, you are going to get it. That is what happened to Jacob. Jacob had all these three coming together to work on him. You will see from his life, there are certain mistakes he made. And yet, God used those mistakes to work on him. Certain things that God himself also set him up. Okay? Now, when I say Bethel and God's dealings and God's working on us, I'm not referring to the fact that God is working on you in the church only. No. Bethel is not just in the church. It's a stage of your life. And so God is training you through what is coming from the pulpit or through circumstances, your day-to-day life. What happens in your life as a believer? When you start bearing fruit, when God is training you for ministry, everything about your life counts. Your relationships, your activities, the events of your life, they all count. And God is not going to spare any of them. He's going to use all of them to train you. When heaven takes an interest in your life, it is not an easy thing, but it's a good thing. When heaven says, "Behold, you are the Lord's handmaiden. Hail Mary, full of grace." And yet Simeon said, "You are going to be a sign that is going to be spoken against, and the sword will pierce through your heart." Is that God's favor? He said, "You are full of grace." So when God says, "I have an interest in your life," you must know that it's not an easy thing. Because God will not allow you to go your way. He will make sure you go his way because he has an interest in your life. But at the end, you are going to smile. And you're going to be blessed at the end. At the end, you're going to give God glory for both the things that he gave you and the things that he denied you of. The thing the devil brought your way and even the things that you brought on yourself that God helped you out. You are going to thank God for them. Because all those things are going to be applied. Yes. So, relationships, events, circumstances, changing seasons, various encounters. There are things that can happen in your life and you may think that your life is coming to an end. Okay? All on your path of training. There are some relationships that God can create for you that will work on your flesh. There are some that you will create for yourself that will also work on your flesh. And there are some that the devil will bring. By the end, God will also use to work on your flesh. We will see it in Jacob's life. So look at the cities that Jacob went through. The places. The first place was Bethel. So Bethel was the place of the first encounter. Okay. That was where the first pillar was erected. Jacob erected four pillars in his life. Four pillars. Then from Bethel, that reference is Genesis 28, verse 19. From Bethel, Jacob went to the place called Haran. Haran was where Laban was. And Haran simply means parched. Parched or dried out by heat. Dried out by heat. Parched. It's like something you have put on fire for all the water to come out. Now it's rigid, parched. Okay. And that's the place of testing and pruning for Jacob. And from Genesis 29 verse 1 to 30 verse 43, it was Haran. He was in Haran. There was no pillar in Haran. But from Haran, the next place he went to was Mizpah. Mizpah is the place of witness or covenant. And that is Genesis 31, 43 to 51. And that was when there was a covenant between Jacob and Laban. I'm not talking about that, but I just want to give you the picture. From Mizpah, the next place he encountered was Mahanaim. Mahanaim it means double camps. And it means the place where he encountered the army of God. That there was an army on earth, another army in heaven, double camp, double host. And he erected a second pillar at Mizpah. Okay. Now, Mahanaim, Genesis 32, verse 1. From Mahanaim, Jacob went to a place called Jabbok. Jabbok, the word Jabbok means to pour out, to be emptied. And that was a place where he had an encounter with the angel where his thigh bone was broken and his name was changed. That was the place where it was called Jabbok. That place was called Jabbok. After the encounter, he named the place Peniel, the place of encountering the face of God. So at Bethel, he heard the voice of God. But at Jabbok, he encountered the face of God. You see a progression in Jacob's life. From Jabbok, Jacob went to Sukkoth. Sukkoth is a place where Jacob went to outside of God's will. He was wandering. Sukkoth means a brothel. A brothel. You know a brothel? Yes. It was a place of departure from the path of consecration, wanderings and detours. Okay? And he was on his own. That was a place where Dinah, for instance, was raped. See, Dinah was raped in Shechem. Shechem means burden. And yet, Shechem is in Salem, which means peace. So, Shechem, what means it means that when you are in Sukkoth, right, now you are outside of God's will, the place where you should have gotten peace, Salem, you were getting burdens and bondages because he was outside of God's will. And Shechem at Sukkoth, that's Genesis 33, verse 17, that was when Jacob built a house. And the patriarchs were never instructed to build houses. Anyway, he built a house. The only one among them that built a house. He had become comfortable, you know, after the encounter at Jabbok. And he settled down, built a house and all that. But he was outside of God's will. From there, he came to El Bethel. God spoke and said, now, go to Bethel. And then when he got there, it was a place of fullness and fulfillment of promise. It was the end of the cycle, the completion of his training and readiness for public ministry. And that was when the third pillar was erected in El Bethel. So now, let's look at Haran, the place where Laban was. Laban was Jacob's uncle, his mother's brother. And he was going to live with Laban. Okay, now, Haran means parched. It also means dried out with heat. Dried out with heat. So right after Bethel, the next place Jacob landed was Haran. And he spent 20 years at Haran. And these were 20 years full of a lot of things. Trials, disappointments, betrayals. But God was still with him. And he also experienced God's blessing. So the 20 years was Jacob's wilderness. God was with him. He blessed him. But he was also going through training and experiencing all the trials and testings and all that in Haran. When he got to Haran, the very first thing that he was weaned from was his affection. You see, when he got to Haran, he saw Rahel. Rahel was Laban's second daughter. Now, Rahel means to fondle or affection. Are you getting me? Yes. And Jacob fell in love with Rahel. Now, Leah was Laban's first daughter. And look at the Bible. Go to Genesis 29 verse 15 to 17. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rahel or Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Let me explain this. When it says Leah's eyes were delicate, that word for delicate means watery, watery. And that stands for a prophetic nature. Leah was very prophetic. She was very prophetic. She had eyes. But Rachel was only beautiful in form and appearance. There was nothing prophetic about Rachel. And yet, Jacob didn't want Leah. He wanted Rachel. And because his tastes were not trimmed yet. His tastes were not spiritual yet. Look at Leah, the names she gave her children. Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah. She was prophetic. Rachel gave Benjamin Benoni. She placed a curse on Benjamin because she bore him with pain. But Leah was so prophetic. The name she gave, Reuben means a son. Simon means who will be heard. Levi means and will be attached. Then Judah means and he will praise God. You can make a sermon out of Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, and in that order. So Leah was prophetic, but Jacob didn't like the prophetic one. Meanwhile, she was the one who was needed for her, for his destiny. And so the Lord used that to show him something. Rachel means to fondle or show affection. So Jacob was weaned from his affections. He was weaned from his affections. You know what happened? So continue. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I should give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. This love was not based on revelation. It was based on feelings. Because Rachel means to fondle or to show affection. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife for my disfulfillment that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her. It was lights out, evening. And Laban gave his maid, 23. Okay, yes, 24. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is it that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? This was the first taste of deception from Laban. He gave him Leah instead of Rachel. But God was also using it to trim Jacob's affection. That you have to be prophetic even in your affections. And don't marry in the night. Because when you marry in the night, this will happen to you. Because how can you, after marriage, the following morning, the wife that you have served 7 years for, she's not the one. Then Laban said, oh, don't worry, serve another 7 years for Rachel, making 14 years. So Jacob served 14 years for the two wives. So you see that God was weaning him from his affection. It's all part of God's training. That this is what you like, but what you like will not bless you, will not help you. And sometimes God will have to cut relationships, I'm telling you. If heaven takes interest in your life, sometimes there are some relationships that you will never understand how they will leave you. You will cry. You will throw your legs, throw your face. They will just leave you. Because heaven is interested in your life. Where you are going will not help you. So this taught him a lesson. He encountered denial for the first time. He had always thought that he should have his way. For the very first time, somebody had taught him that you can't have your way always. Because Jacob relied on his strength, his mind, his wisdom, his craftiness. And he was so crafty, he thought he could always find a way out of any situation. For the first time, he met somebody who was more crafty than him. Not surprising, because Laban was his uncle. So it was in the blood. you think you are crafty. You are not more crafty than your uncle. He met a master cheater. Yes. Now, another thing that Jacob realized in Haran was haste is a waster of destiny. God also taught Jacob that lesson in Haran. That lesson will be taught where you are. God is developing your foundation. There's something called haste. Haste is in the soul. If God doesn't help you and deliver you from haste, you will make a wreck of your destiny. You see, you run ahead of God. You jump ahead of God. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 to 26, after Jacob had served for 14 years, you see, then God remembered Rachel. You see, when they got married, Leah started giving birth to children. But Rachel's womb was closed. Her womb was closed. Then it says, God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country, giving my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. This was after 14 years. Jacob was in a hurry to leave when he bore 11 children. He had seen some little fruitfulness. But his prosperity was in the remaining 6 years that he served Laban. So here, God was teaching him that haste can rob you of your blessings when you are in haste. Some people jump out when they see a little fruitfulness in their lives. A little fruitfulness, oh, I want to be on my way out. I want to go. Look at what Laban told him. 27. This was after. So, and Laban said to him, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Mm-hmm. Then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know how I've served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? So he wanted to go. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages come before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. He was happy with the deal. So he removed that day the male goat. You know what he was doing? Because Jacob said, the speckled, the spotted, and the brown, they are the ones that will be for me. So he removed the male so that the male cannot cross the female to produce speckled, spotted, and brown. He removed the male goat that were speckled, spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted. Everyone that has some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and he gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So Laban was a cheat. And Laban said that, okay, now this is your wages. So instead of allowing the sheep to produce so that Jacob will get his own, he removed the potential for production. Reproduction. The male were taken out so that the rest will not have speckled, spotted, or brown. So in a way, Laban was even coming to cheat Jacob further and further impoverish him. But that was when he also saw the hand of God. What happened was that, let's continue. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and the chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rod which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters and the watering trough where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. This was an angel who gave Jacob this idea. And it's a law of faith. What you see is what you get. So he designed the thing in front of them. As they were drinking and watching the thing, they were conceiving conceiving the speckled and the spotted. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. This was a miracle. God was telling Jacob that. Even though Laban is cheating you, because your training time has not expired, stay there, and I will bless you. You wanted to jump out, give me my children, 11 children. I have some, but I didn't have flock, I didn't have wealth. And God said, no, I have to compensate you for what Laban did to you. Stay here for the 6 years so that your training will be complete. When he stayed there, look at the result. He became so rich. Come to 31 verse 7 to 9. This is what Jacob is telling his wife. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God didn't allow him to hurt me. If he said that the speckles shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said that the streaks shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. This was Jacob telling Leah and Rachel that your father changed my wages 10 times. If he says now the spotted sheep will be your wages, then all the sheep will bear the spotted ones. And you come and say, no, I've changed. Now you take the streaked ones. Then all the sheep will bear. So God was using that to tell Jacob that prosperity comes from me. That I am the one who can prosper you. Because even in the midst of all the systems that Laban puts in place, God still found a way to prosper Jacob. Why? Because he didn't jump ahead of God's process. He was still in Laban's house. Even though he had children, he wanted to move. You see, sometimes Lot had the same problem. When Lot saw a little prosperity, he said, let me go. I want to go. He said, my herdsmen and your herdsmen, they are fighting. How did you come by herdsmen, Lot? Abraham picked you when you were, your father died. Your father, Haran, died. And Abraham picked you. And because of Abraham's covenant with God, Lot, you have also come into that blessing. To the extent that now you have herdsmen, which means that they had sheep and goats and camels and everything, and had herdsmen also with Abraham. And he said, now, let me go. And let me go. Because the herdsmen of Lot and that of Abraham were fighting. Not the two, but their herdsmen. Because now Lot too has a constituency in the place. And his members are fighting Abraham's members. In the same place. It's not interesting. Abraham said, come. We are brothers. He didn't say, I'm your uncle. Because Lot was so proud, he would have given him a cheeky answer. He said, look, we are brothers. Let's not fight. Choose whatever you want to choose. You choose first. Look at it too. If Abraham says choose first, what should you do? He said, no, uncle, please, you choose first. Then the rest you leave to me. Not Lot. He said, okay, Bible says, then Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Sodom as it was as fertile like the Garden of Eden. And Lot chose for himself the plain of Sodom and all the fertile ground. Abraham was watching him standing there. Then Lot went. Then God told Abraham, lift now up your eyes. For Lot, Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes. For Abraham, Bible says, and God told Abraham, lift up your eyes. This land, I'll give you. At that time, he was still Abraham. But the greater blessing came when he became Abraham. At that time, Lot had left. So Lot experienced the blessing of Abram. He never experienced the blessing of Abraham. And the name Lot means blind, veiled. He couldn't see. See, Bible names, they are not for decoration. So Lot means he couldn't see. He couldn't see afar. He was in a hurry to jump out at the wrong time. So it was the same lesson God was teaching Jacob, that you have said 14 years. You have gotten some children. But I want to bless you further. You have to get wealth, because this labor has cheated you, and I have to compensate you. When he stayed, then the blessing, the full blessing came. So this one is a pointer to the tragedy of incomplete service or unfinished business. That's how we produce Ishmaels, not Isaacs. Haste is something that can destroy your destiny. Haste can lead you to produce Ishmael. And you know what? God will never kill your Ishmael. Your Ishmael will always be there to remind you of the time you were in a hurry. And your Ishmael will always fight against your Isaac. Your Ishmael is what you got through rush. Your Isaac is on the way. Coming. Yes. So you see, at Bethel, God will deal with haste. That is why sometimes there are delays in your life. Sometimes there are disappointments in your life. Not because that, you see, it could be the devil. But you see, when you are in training, when you are at Bethel, God will use that to work on your life so that haste will leave you. I was counseling somebody who was serving under a man of God who was insecure. And the man of God suddenly the guy to some harsh dealings. Very harsh. Very, very harsh. The guy will come to me from another church. He will come here after church, sit down here, and I'll tell him, stay there. Stay there. He said, my pastor sometimes disgraces me. When I come and lead, he will come and take the microphone, and then he will disgrace me. I said, stay there. I said, you are not ready for ministry yet. Stay there. I said, don't look at what the pastor is doing. God is training you. God is working something into you. A time will come where God will raise you, and you have a heart to nurture people. That's how God worked on Joseph. But the little thing that we meet, we just want to run away. This one, he was even insulting him. Harsh. It's not good for a man of God to do that. Maybe he, the man of God, skips some process. So he cannot nurture people. And you find yourself under his ministry. He can't nurture you. He's also bruising you. I catch another person from the U.S., the same thing. I said, stay there. Don't leave yet. He will call me. He can talk for 1 hour. Man of God, this is too much. I want to go. And here's the guy who God uses. He has a lot of gifting. God uses him and all that. The day he will hold the microphone, all hell will break loose in the church. Because people will really pray. And the pastor will call him and tell him, look, you are nothing. You are nothing. You are not anointed. You are not even anointed. Don't deceive yourself. The guy was in a hurry to move. I said, don't move. He had an invitation to go and preach somewhere. Then he said, should I tell my pastor? I said, tell him. He said, if I tell him, he won't allow me. I said, if you tell him, he doesn't allow you, don't go. He said, man of God. I said, yes. If you tell him, he doesn't allow you, don't go, stay there. So he went to tell him. And the pastor said, you know what? I'll buy your ticket. I'll buy your ticket. And the pastor bought his ticket for him. So, God taught Jacob that prosperity comes from God. Now, when God helped Jacob to overcome haste, he stayed for 6 more years in Laban's house. And Laban changed his wages 10 times. Do you know what that means? 10 times. 10 is a number for testing, affliction, the number for trials, and number for deliverance at the same time. In the Bible, write this down. The Israelites, they tested God 10 times in the wilderness. Numbers 14:22. God said, you have tested me 10 times in the wilderness. Job was reproved by his friends 10 times. Job 19:3. 10 times. His friends were reviling him 10 times. 10 is always a number for trials, afflictions, and yet it's a number for deliverance at the same time. Revelation 2:10. He said, you have tribulation 10 days. 10 days tribulation. Talking about a period of 10 emperors. 10 emperors where the church entered into great persecution. From Emperor Diocletian to, I think, Emperor Nero. 10 emperors. Daniel and his friends were put on a 10-day test. Daniel 1:12. And they came out 10 times better. Daniel 1:20. I'll talk about the 10 tests on the path of destiny. 10 tests. Because we always, 10 is a number for testing. And yet, it's still a number for deliverance and preservation. Sodom needed only 10 people to preserve it. Abraham said, if you go to Sodom and you get 10 people, will you spare the city? He said, yes, if I get 10 people, I will spare the city. So God distressed Sodom, not because of sin, because he didn't find 10 people who act at the salt of the earth to intercede. 10 is a number for preservation. So Jacob was cheated 10 times. And God allowed it. God waited for him to go through all this period of cheating for 10 times. His wages was changed 10 times. And yet, God used that same period to bless him, to prosper him. To the extent that when he was coming out of Laban's house, the guy was wealthy. He was rich. To the extent that Laban's sons envied Jacob. Told their sisters, your husband has stolen our father's wealth. In fact, they said, he has taken our father's glory. Somebody who was cheated 10 times. God bless him. That's why I keep saying that you gain mastery in anything you do consistently for 10 years. You gain mastery. If you have not done it for 10 years, we can't listen to you. Don't do marriage counseling when you have not married for 10 years. You'll be talking theory. Yes. Don't do ministers seminar when you have not been in ministry for more than 10 years. You'll be talking theory. Don't do business lectures when you have not been in business for more than 10 years. You are talking theory. Jesus spent 30 years for 3 years ministry, which means 10 years for 1 year. Are you getting it? So this is Bible mathematics. Now, even though his uncle sought to cheat him, this was his moment of prosperity because of divine direction. And you know what? In Haran, God also laid a foundation in his life for him to overcome Mammon. The cheating was part of God's training for Jacob to overcome Mammon. Let me tell you something. If God has called you to be a kingdom financier, at a point in your life, you will go through cheating or loss. You will lose something. Just to cure you of your affection for money, you will lose something that will hurt you. There are many ways God can use to train you if your purpose is to handle large sums of money for kingdom advancement. Because if God does not train your heart that way, when the money comes, the kingdom will still suffer. So when you have that calling, prepare for, number one, specific instructions to give certain amounts or to give things away. God will tell you. That's how one of the ways he'll be training you. Give this to this person. Go and sow this. And it's going to be hard on your flesh, but it's breaking lust. The lust of your eyes, covetousness is broken. Because if God doesn't lay that foundation in your life and you jump into public ministry, you'll be a disaster. Because money in your heart, Mammon and God cannot live in the same place. And when money is in your heart, it means that all your considerations, your motivation will be money. Money will determine where you go to preach. It will determine who you attend to, who you pray for. Everything will be Mammon. So, as I'm saying, you will see why some people behave like they do. They skip this foundation. Measured provision. God can measure your provision. When he's training you in Bethel, there will come a point where your provision will be measured. Where it's like God supplies your needs, but that's all. You will be living from hand to mouth. You will not lack, but you will also have abundance. Meanwhile, you are what I'm talking about, somebody that God is training at Bethel. One of the things people can go through at Bethel. When heaven says, I've taken an interest in your life, that kind of training God will give you. He will trim your appetites so that covetousness and greed will leave your heart, because these two things, they are part of the flesh. And for as long as mammon is in your heart, God cannot use you as he wants to use you. Because God wants us to be pliable in his hand. And that's the reason for this kind of training. Measured provision. Drying up of source of income. What I'm teaching you is ministry. Not ordinary life. Ministry. When God is training you for his work, for his purpose, when you are in Bethel, some of these things will come to you. But God will use them to train your appetites. The betrayal, the disappointment, the denials. God will use all that to trim your appetite. The losses you made. When you were cheated and God said, let go. It was part of God's training. That's why he said, let go. Don't try to get even. Let go. God said, don't follow it. Let it go. And misplaced affection is being healed, because you have placed your affection in the wrong things. And you have thought that a man's life consists in the abundance of things he possesses. And God said, I want to teach you a lesson for you to know that I am your life. Your life is not in the abundance of things you gather around you. That was the lesson that God taught Jacob. And after Haran, Jacob's mindset was changed. He was not struggling for anything. Do you know why? Because he realized that even in difficult circumstances where labor was changed by wages, God still found a way to bless me. It was part of God's training. Now, so he left Haran at long last. That's Genesis 31. Verse 1, his stay was over. How did he know his stay was over? God spoke to him. The first time that he wanted to leave, God didn't speak to him. He saw that he had gotten children. He said, no, it's time for me to go. But go to Genesis 31. Look at what is there. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he's acquired all this wealth. Okay. And Jacob saw that the countenance of Laban, and indeed, that it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Now, he has learned that you make movements by that year, the Lord, not by circumstances, not because there's fruitfulness. So here he waited for God to tell him, go back to your father's house. And he realized that he had learned from the first mistake that fruitfulness is not an indication that it's time to leave. Fruitfulness. When you are an apprentice, for instance, somebody is teaching you how to do something, then you learn one or two things. I want to go. That's what Jacob was about to do. Sometimes we skip God's training because of that. Now, but even though God's training at Haran had come to an end, it didn't mean that Jacob had gotten to a place where God wanted, because there are other dealings that will come. Haran was the first dealing. There are other dealings, especially at Jabbok, where the angel encountered him and touched his hip, the thigh bone, the strongest. Because even here, Jacob, even though now he has started knowing God, but his character was still the same. The way he left Laban's house, he fled. He had not changed. Even though God said, go, but the way he left, he dodged. Because his mother, Rebecca, for instance, God told Rebecca that, look, your son, Jacob, the younger one, will serve the elder one. But God never told her to use that means to scheme to get the blessing for Jacob. So she used human means to secure what God has started. We didn't even hear of her again. Yes, because she didn't need to help God. She didn't need help. She didn't need to help God. She was helping God. The same thing with Jacob. Now God says, go. But look at how he's going. He left quietly. He fled. And then Laban chased him and then got him. But later on, God dealt with Jacob and stripped Jacob of the flesh. At Jabbok, that was time for emptying. You see, in God's process, there's a time where God will break you, a time where God will empty you from vessel to vessel. Jabbok was empty. He was too strong. The angel touched his hip bone and he was limping. That was when his name was changed to Israel. And after he was limping, then the sun rose upon him. At Bethel, the sun sets upon him. At Jabbok, the sun rose upon him. But we have not gotten to Jabbok yet, because we have to go through from Haran. I think we'll go to Mahanaim, we'll go to Sukkot, even Sukkot, the low ground where Jacob went to, where he made a detour, he deviated. God used, you see, all the patriarchs, they were wondrous. They wondered. But God used all of that to train them. Jacob, all of them. The wanderings are not from God. The wilderness is from God. But the wanderings, they are not from God. They are from our own disobedience, our own mistakes and all that. But God doesn't waste all of that. He will still use all of that to work on you. And later, the man Jacob changed. And he became so prophetic. All right. So, now, okay. Let me end here so that from next week, I'll continue from the other places. Because all these places, they are telling us the training that God gives you from Bethel to El Bethel. So this one is just the part one, because there are other places that Jacob went to that I've mentioned that I'm not going into now. There are lessons to be learned from the life of Jacob. Well, by the time you finish, you realize that, okay, so this is why these things happen. And this is why you will sit down with your own life and you will know that, okay, so this is why this happened to me, or this okay, and this and that and that and that. And you understand what the path that you are on, and certain things that came on your path, and how God used them to shape you for his purpose. Let's be on our feet. See, sometimes, you know, for instance, the dream that I was sharing, that I shared, that Esther was referring to, where I said that people were going through things, and it was like they would go through, they would come out, you know, and come out. Then it got my turn. I went into the thing. Then they said, stop. Do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. Now, you see, when I came out finally, somebody told me, he said that The call of God, the call that God has for you is what will determine the training you go through. So if you compare yourself, because if you are studying architecture, for instance, or let's say medicine, for instance, you and Nana Kwame entered the university in 2005. And then he came out in 2009. He also wanted to leave. Meanwhile, you are doing medicine. He's doing economics. So you also want to leave and get the same result he's getting. No, God will say, wait. So the path of destiny is different from one person to the other. And that is why you should not compare yourself to somebody. What you will go through, your set of circumstances, eh? Because what you will go through, it is tailor-made. Because some of them are your own mistakes. I may not make your mistakes. And you may not make my mistakes. But because so what you are going to go through will be different from mine. And mine will be different from yours. Are you getting me? Yes. And so we should not compare. So when you see people, you see, what you have to do is that when you see, there are some people, you see them and you know that you are going through certain things, eh? Just leave them. Just pray for them. And leave them. God himself will sort them out. Things that you think you need deliverance out of them. Talking about hardships and all that. You don't need any deliverance out of them. God himself will see you through. There are some lessons that you must learn. I can't learn for you. You must learn them. What I can do is to pray for grace. Paul said, deliver me. God said, no. Wait. My grace is sufficient for you. God will give grace. He will not solve the problem, but he will explain to you what you are going through. I'm not saying don't fight what is fighting you. By all means, fight. But when you fight and fight and fight and fight and it's not fighting, ask God. Ask him. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times. Three times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In 2015, the Lord showed me something about what was happening in my life. I took rest. 2015. He said, though you eat the bread of adversity, I will not take your instructors away from you. And God said, your instructors are the revelations and the visions and the encounters that I give you, the lessons you learn from this situation. So you will see the difference between somebody going through an affliction and somebody going through process is revelation. What are the revelations that you are getting because of the things you are going through? What are the things that God is teaching you? It means it's a process. Otherwise, it's the devil that is trying to afflict you. But even that one, if you don't know how to fight back and you allow the devil to afflict you, at the end, you will learn something. Because you will learn how to fight. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer. Oh God, deliver me from haste. I've realized that haste is one thing that will cost many people. Haste. Jumping out before his time. If he has not said, come, don't jump out of the boat. You will drown. You will sink. When he says, come, then you can jump out of the boat. Because faith is not a leap into the dark. Faith is jumping when he says jump. So, oh God, let's pray. Deliver me from haste. That's that thing called haste in our soul. Oh, yes. It says, he that believes in him will not make haste. Will not make haste. Patience is the proof of matured faith. He said, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Patience is the fruit of faith that is mature. Haste is the fruit of immaturity. May God deliver us from haste. May we be in a hurry. May we not be in a hurry to go ahead of God. May we be content with following God. May we be content with walking in step with the Spirit. May God help us not to jump process, not to jump process, not to skip his training. Whatever it is, Paul said, I besought the Lord. You have to pray and ask God. You have to pray and ask God for interpretation. Why is this thing like that? And sometimes it will marvel you, the answer God will give you. God will assure you of his love and of his presence. Because he says, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are still with me. He said, you are still with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yet though you are walking through, and yet he's with you. Joseph was in prison, but the Bible says, and Joseph was a prosperous man. And God made all that he did to prosper, but the guy was still in prison. How can you be in prison and the Bible says you are prosperous? Because prosperity is when God is with you in the changing seasons of life. Because those changing seasons, they were part of Joseph's training seasons. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes the ways of God, you can't understand. Bible says his ways are past finding out. His past, they are past finding out. They are unsearchable. And yet the end will be glorious. The end will be glorious. Many things can come on your path. Many things can happen to you. Sometimes you may think that your life has come to an end. Oh, take rest. Just take rest. Take rest. Oh yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. We are praying this second prayer. Give me the ability to interpret seasons and times. Give me the ability to interpret seasons and times. When you know that this is the time for training, you'll be content. You'll be content. When you know that it's not time to leave Haran, even though I have 11 children, you'll be content. You'll be content. That is where your prosperity will come from. That is where your prosperity will come from. You can leave when you have headsmen. And yet you will miss Abraham. You can leave when you think you have had enough. When you have endured enough hostility. You can leave because somebody is giving you a showdown. And yet, it's not time to leave. Ask God. Talk to God. Ask him. Every movement should be occasioned by that says the Lord. He said, I prophesied as commanded, and the bones began to move, bone to bone. Every movement comes by that says the Lord. It was God who told Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, where you first encountered me. Shalamahatara. Lebahatabaha. Le krototo stepahala. Lebahala yadabaha. Son tepahalas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are praying the last prayer for Ghana. Let Ghana enter her fruitful seasons. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our beloved country, Ghana. Let Ghana enter into fruitful seasons. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. God's plans and purpose for Ghana will be established. Because Ghana has a prophetic destiny in God's end time agenda. And the Lord said, Ghana is my jewel. Ghana is my jewel. The banner of Christ in this nation will be exalted above every other banner. In the name of Jesus. For God must do a work of grace on this land. For prosperity will come to Ghana. And revival will come to Ghana. In the name of Jesus. Ghana will take her place on the table of nations. As the firstborn of Africa. The gateway to Africa. Ghana has a prophetic destiny. In the name of Jesus. And the power, the purpose. purpose of God for Ghana is established. In the name of Jesus. It's established. In the name of Jesus. The banner of Christ is exalted. The mountain of the Lord's house is exalted above all other mountains. As the Bible says in Isaiah 2 verse 4. Verse 2. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above every other mountain. Thank you, Lord. We bless Ghana. We bless Ghana with prosperity. We bless Ghana with peace. We bless Ghana. In the name of Jesus, we speak a word into the atmosphere, into the soul of this nation. You will not die, you will live. Be strengthened. Be strengthened. Be strengthened. Be stable. In the name of Jesus, your destiny is not in the hands of the politicians. Ghana, your destiny is not in the hands of politicians. Your destiny is in the purpose and plans of God. And as the church, Ecclesia, we speak it out and it's established in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your word. We pray that you help us, Lord, on this journey where you are laying ministry foundation. Help us not to skip process. Grant us the spirit of humility, the spirit of meekness, to follow you as foolish people, to follow you, Lord, as children, to follow you, Lord, as people who don't have minds of our own. Because you said, if we acknowledge you in all our ways, then you shall direct our path. He said, we should not lean to our own understanding, but we should acknowledge you in all our ways. Give us that kind of heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you were blessed. For more of this, download Apostle Joseph Minter app on Google Play Store and also available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, and so many more. You can also visit our website, www.torchworldministries.com. Torch World Ministries, we reach, disciple, equip, and release. Be blessed.